Welcome to Dakota Midday. I am Kara Hetland, and coming up, we're going to hear a little preview of what's happening at the Capitol in Pierre as we prepare at 1 o'clock for former Governor Walter Dale Miller's memorial service that you can see on SDPB TV2 starting at 1 o'clock. We'll talk with Jennifer Jones, who is at the Capitol, in just a little bit. Joining me now is Gaylord Torrance. He is a senior curator of American Indian Art at the Nelson Atkins Museum of Art. Mr. Torrance is one of the nation's leading scholars of Plains Indian art. And welcome to Dakota Midday. Thank you so much for being here.
Well, thanks very much.
And we're talking because the great Sioux Horse effigy has returned to South Dakota, but you are a great part of the exhibition that went on an international tour. So describe this exhibition for us.
This exhibition was organized by a museum in Paris, Musée de Quai Branly, and they're a young museum, and they're regarded as probably the most important museum for the presentation of the arts of indigenous people throughout the world. They wanted to do an exhibition on American Indian art, Plains Indian art in particular, and they invited me to curate the exhibition, which I agreed to do. And what resulted was an exhibition of about 140 objects drawn from collections in Europe and North America that opened in Paris last April and then traveled to the Nelson Atkins Museum of Art here in Kansas City, and then went on to the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York.
And it has gotten great reviews.
It has.
It has. So what's the difference between Plains Indian art and just Native American art?
Well, Plains Indian art is the art of a particular culture in a region of the country, the Great Plains. For most of us trying to understand the incredible diversity of culture and artistic traditions that existed among Native peoples, over time and through time, we look at North America in relation to culture areas, and these were areas that supported groups of people that were similar economically, religiously, artistically, and the Great Plains is one of those areas. And so the art of this exhibition was drawn from the various tribes that inhabited the plains, beginning in pre-contact times and then continuing through the 20th century up to the present day.
And the 140 objects that you had, what types of medium is used in the 140 that were part of the exhibition?
Well, there were broadly speaking, there were sculptural works in wood and stone, antler, bone. There were many kinds of paintings and drawings on hide, on painted robes, later on muslin, teepees, ledger books, and paper. And then there was remarkable regalia. In other words, clothing that communicated a variety of meanings within the culture. And many of these things are what I would think of as an assemblage of works. In other words, they're made of a great variety of materials, both natural materials and then later materials obtained in trade. And that pretty much covers it. No basketry or pottery.
And what is the time span of when this art has been created?
Well, the plains has been inhabited for many thousands of years, but we began the exhibition right around 2,000 years ago with two extraordinary stone sculptures. Actually, we began before that. We established a precedent for plain sculpture by showing two objects from the woodlands, a great pipe from Ohio that was made of a red pipe stone, showing a dancing figure, and a seated figure from the Mississippian culture at Spiro Mound. And then we jump to about 1600, and from there we move into the 1700s. And what was extraordinary about this exhibition is that with Cabron Lee organizing the show, they were willing to lend, they were willing to send the earliest historical Plains Indian art in existence. The collection resides there. These are things that were acquired by the French who were living along pretty much the Mississippi River Valley, but also up the Missouri River to a degree. They were trading with the native peoples, and they were sending these things back to France. And through chance and miracle, a number of these objects have survived in rather beautiful condition. And for many of them, it was the first time that they returned to North America since they were collected.
And because they're housed in France, and then went on tour, I'm just wondering how much Plains Indian art is out there, or is it a pretty small, you know, a pretty small world in the Plains Indian art, so to speak?
No, there are really vast collections that exist. Some of the earliest material exists in Europe because the French, the Germans especially, but also the Swiss, the English, all were in North America early on, and things were being brought back to England and the continent. They were being sent back as mementos, as souvenirs, sometimes as scientific study. But these things, there are some amazing things that exist in those collections. Beginning in the 19th century, around the mid-19th century, and then accelerating, the great natural history museums in the United States and Canada began to acquire vast collections from cultures that were changing dramatically towards the end of the 19th century. And so the National Museum of the American Indian, the American Museum of Natural History, the Peabody Harvard, certainly the Smithsonian, there are many, many great collections in this country, and the body of Plains Indian material is really quite large.
How much of the story behind the pieces do we really know?
It depends on what time period you're talking about and what kind of research was done. And one thing is very much true, and that is that with historical Plains Indian art, the oral tradition was very important. And there were almost always stories attached to objects, and these stories were passed down. Objects and their makers were known within communities, and so without that oral narrative, much has been lost in terms of specific meanings, but there was enough work done with native peoples towards the end of the 19th century and into the 20th, where a lot of information was gained by researchers, but also many stories have been retained within native communities. And increasingly, there's been a great effort to include native voice within studies and exhibitions such as this. Our primary essayist is one of South Dakota's treasures, Arthur Amiot, who's an artist and educator. And he wrote a wonderful essay on traditional Lakota values as they're reflected in Plains Indian art and Lakota art. So those kinds of perspectives add tremendously to what we think we know about the historical art, and it certainly informs a good deal of what we understand about these pieces, and it helps us to see them.
And the Sioux horse effigy that was a part of this exhibition, talk a little bit about this piece specifically.
Well, it's a great it's It's probably, I would say it's the most famous of all Plains Indian sculptures. It was first featured in a very important exhibition in 1976-77 called Sacred Circles, and that exhibition opened in Great Britain and then came to Kansas City, and the horse was one of the featured items on the poster, and it was certainly for everyone in the field sensational to see this object. It's a beautiful work. It depicts a warrior's horse who was killed in the Battle of the Little Bighorn. So the maker, No Two Horns was his name. He was an Unkpapa Lakota. He produced during his lifetime as many as 10 of these effigies. But the one in South Dakota is the it's the most elaborate. It's the most ambitious in terms of a sculptural work. It's nearly 3 feet long. And it depicts a horse in its last moments of life. It's either lunging or falling. It's been hit with many bullets. The form is elongated, so it's abstracted, which gives the sense, I would say, an intensified sense of motion. The horse twists slightly in space, the head off to the right and the rear legs to the left. It's a deeply emotional work of art, and when people see it in the museum, there's not a lot of talking going on. They look hard at this and marvel at it. It's one of those sculptures that has you in the moment, in the last moments of this horse's life, and you know that you're witnessing a very, very dramatic event.
And it was a warrior's tribute to a fallen horse?
Yes, it's the object itself is called a horse memorial in Lakota culture, and these were made by or for men who had horses killed in battle, and it was a way of honoring the horse. And these effigies were carried in dances by some men throughout their lives to honor a horse that was also a companion in war. And, the Plains people were and still are, to a degree, a horse culture. And men were close to their horses. And there are many narratives, 19th century narratives, where men relied on their horses to bring them out of danger. And there was a closeness, and that is also expressed, I think, in this carving.
And you answered my question, but just to reiterate the point that these were not carved to put in a museum at some point. These were carved to be used as a battle cry in honoring.
You say not a battle cry,
but in holding them up and the purpose for which they were carved, I guess.
All Plains Indian art traditionally, things have changed in the 20th century, but traditionally Plains Indian art was all functional in either a spiritual or utilitarian or ceremonial way, and this object is no exception to that. But it also is an extraordinary work of art. It's an extraordinary piece of sculpture by any definition. And I always feel that when something is placed in a museum, when a Native American work is placed in a museum, something is gained and something is lost. What's gained is that you can really stand and observe and take in this work in all that it has to offer, all that you can understand and bring away from it. And there's a certain luxury to that. On the other hand, to have seen this horse effigy carried in a dance would have added additional layers of meaning and I think understanding to the purpose of the piece and what would have been a very dramatic use.
Gaylord Torrence, I want to thank you for taking time and coming on Dakota Midday today. I really appreciate it.
Oh, Thank you. It was my pleasure.
Thank you. Gaylord Torrence is a senior curator of American Indian art at the Nelson Atkins Museum of Art in Kansas City. He will come this weekend and help celebrate the return of the Great Sioux Horse effigy during the return celebration Sunday evening at 5:30.